morning, Grace Baptist Church. I can picture every one of you here right now, almost literally. Thank you for all your efforts, everyone that put this together here at the church. I think you know what I'm talking about. And it's a beautiful day today. Hope that you have a good day today with your family. And just want to let you know that we're always praying for everybody here, and that the for your safety and for your health. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I know you're sitting at home and you're listening. I just pray that you, the Lord just fills your home with the Holy Spirit, and that you really get something out of today. We love you and we miss you. So I'll open up with a prayer real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to still worship you, Father. There's still a way. Thank you for all your mercy and all your many blessings. Thank you most of all, Father, for your love and sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, Father. You're such a wonderful God, perfect in every way. Pray that you'll be with Pastor Andy and Austin and myself as we proceed with the service this morning, and pray that you touch the hearts of those that are at home listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
His Father's side, gone over death, triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives forevermore. Now, my friend, if you don't know my risen Savior, I beg of you, please don't wait too late to pray. Don't wait until the bride has been completed. No, don't wait until you hear him say, it's too late. Gone, the church is empty, gone. The bride is raptured, gone. To sit at Jesus' side, gone, over death, triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives forevermore. Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone. To sit at his Father's side, gone, over death, triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives forevermore.
Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Signs of these times are everywhere, and there's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. Wars and strife on every hand, and violence fills our land. Still some people doubt he'll come again, but the word of God is true. He'll redeem his chosen few. Don't lose hope. Soon Christ Jesus will descend. Signs of these times are everywhere, and there's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh.
Amen. Thank you, Brother David, for blessing us with those two songs. I just love him and his willingness to come in and sing for us on Sunday morning. It is Sunday morning, and we are glad that you are joining with us together by way of our Facebook or our website. I want to just thank Austin again for being here again on Sunday morning to help us do this. And I know he worked during the week doing his best to try to get us hooked up with video. And we still haven't been able to do that. We're going to keep working on it and figure it out. We may have to buy a couple things, but we just want you to know that we appreciate Austin as well to come in and do this so that you can have a sermon each and every week. I want to just also say thank you. I'm looking at not empty pews this morning, and I thank you for that. Let me just tell you what I'm wearing. I have my blue suit on, a blue shirt, a sparkly blue tie, so you know what I look like. But I'm looking out into the pews, and you know, when I turned 60 and this church gave me a birthday party, it was totally unbeknownst to me. I thought it was a party for someone else, and so you got me on that one, and I'm not easily gotten. And I walked in here this morning, and I just see beautiful faces of yours taped to the pews of where you are sitting normally. And some of you probably don't even know that this is done this way. Maybe you all knew. Austin told me he knew, but he was not going to tell me, and so I did not pressure him. David told me he thought he knew as well, but I did not pressure him to tell me either. I don't want to know. But thank you so much for an outpouring of love, and I'm just looking at your faces right now and seeing you and all those warm words you gave to us and encouragement. And we really, really appreciate that. As you know, the governor on Friday extended the stay at home until May 1st. And then I was listening to something else that he was thinking about, maybe planning on opening some of the sectors of the economy and the state sometime in mid-May. So we don't know how long this is going to keep going. I don't know where churches fit into all of that, but we're closed until at least May 1st as of today. And so we just want you to know that. But we're going to keep giving you a sermon each and every Sunday morning. And we're going to maybe try to do something on Wednesday night even, do some prayers with everybody. They can join in with us as well. But I want to thank you for that. And turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to Luke chapter 24. You need to get a Bible. And so I will let you get a Bible in front of you because we're going to walk through the whole chapter of Luke 24. So Luke 24, make sure you get a Bible. We're going to look at Luke 24. A couple of weeks ago, we knew that it was upon us, the Easter season, and what's known as Holy Week. It starts with Palm Sunday when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey and they are all hailing him. Hosanna, Hosanna, praise be to God, he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were just worshiping Jesus. Throughout that week, Jesus had met with several people, and then he met with his disciples that Thursday evening, instituting the Lord's Supper. By Friday, he was arrested and accused, and by Friday early morning, those same people who were hailing him, Hosanna, Hosanna, were saying, crucify him, crucify him. And by that afternoon, Jesus died on the cross, crucified. Saturday came upon him, and then Sunday morning, that first Easter morning, Jesus rose from the dead. And so that's primarily what's known as Holy Week. And so I wanted to look at Luke chapter 24 because last week was Easter. And once Easter happens, it seems like there's not much emphasis on Jesus or what comes next. And I think as important Holy Week is, I think the week after Jesus rose from the dead is so much more important. Look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter 24. I'm just going to read the first 8 verses, and then we'll walk through the rest of the chapter. It says, upon the first day of the week, this is the first Easter morning, very early in the morning, some say probably around 6 o'clock. The word is they in the King James, so I want you to focus on that word they, came unto the sepulcher, or the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. That word others doesn't mean other spices, it means other people. Verse 2, and they, these same people, found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And David had just sang about that song. The stone had been rolled away. And they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, or they were in awe, they were shocked, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Do you not remember how he spoke unto you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and then on that third day rise again? And in verse 8, they, there's that word again, they remembered his, meaning Jesus, words. Let us pray together again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Father, my heart is just joy, filled with joy. I'm seeing the people of Grace Baptist Church here in their pews. Father, we are all united together in spirit. And yes, Father, we are in a shelter-in-place, stay-at-home order. But Father, we are here together in spirit. Just in that same way, the tomb was there and the stone was not going to hold back Jesus. Father, no stay-at-home order respectfully is not going to hold us back. We are still meeting together. We are still worshiping together through the internet, through our social media, through Facebook, through our website. For Father, where we are together, your spirit is there. And we thank you for that. Father, may your spirit be with us here today as we preach your word. so that others can hear it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Hold your finger there in Luke 24. But I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. And then we'll look at one verse there and a couple verses in chapter 2. So Ephesians, hold your thumb in Luke 24. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus there in verse 20. It says, I'm reading from the Holman, He, meaning God, demonstrated this power in the Messiah by raising Him from the dead and seating Him at the right hand in the heavens. Skip down to chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is abundant in mercy because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses and sins. By grace you are saved. He also raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now you can go back to chapter 24. You know, the greatest questions facing our nation today are these questions. When will the COVID-19 coronavirus be over? When will it end? When will we return back to normal? The simple and only answer we can give to those questions is this. We just do not know. We don't have any historical data to even give an answer as to when this will be over and when we can return back to normal. I'm watching all the time on TV the experts that are trying to get us through this crisis, and Dr. Fauci continues to say over and over and over again, we just don't know. There's no data. There's no historical evidence. We don't know what we're facing. We don't know how this is going to play out. We just don't know. The truth of the matter is, no one knows when the virus will be over, if it ever will be. No one knows when a vaccination or a vaccine will be invented for us to use. Some say it may be 6 months. Others say 18 months. No one knows when this will end. No one knows when we will get back to normal, and whatever that might even look like. We just don't know. Only God knows the answers to those questions. But can I pose a more serious and important question that faces mankind today? Here it is. Was Jesus' bodily resurrection true or false? Was it real or was it fake news? Did it happen or did it not happen? Technically speaking, listen to this. Technically speaking, none of us know with certainty because none of us today in 2020 were even there when this happened. Amen? Instead, listen, we have to rely on historical writings from those eyewitnesses who were present on that first Easter morning and during that next week after Easter. For the past 2,000 years, there have been those who want to discount this kind of logic. But let me put it this way. I want to ask this question. Did the Crusades of the 1100s and 1200s, I hope you've had a chance during your life to study that, happened about 900 years ago. Did those Crusades take place or did they not? I was not there 900 years ago, and so I don't know for sure, but I rely on historical writings from those people who were there. Here's another question. Did Christopher Columbus really discover America? Was George Washington the first president? Did Abraham Lincoln really get shot in Ford's Theater? Did Thomas Edison really invent the light bulb? Did Alexander Graham Bell invent the telephone? Was Pearl Harbor really bombed on December 7, 1941? I could go on and on with these great events in history, none of which any of us were present when they happened. Yet we have to determine in our own minds if they actually happened or not. And how do we do that? If we were not there, how do we determine whether something actually happened or not? Here's how we do it. We rely on historical writings or data from those who were eyewitnesses to those events. In the same way, since we were not there 2,020 years ago, when Jesus' bodily resurrection took place, in order to answer whether it was true or false, fact or fiction, we have to rely on historical writings from those who did witness the event. And those historical writings are found in God's infallible Word, the Holy Bible. Amen? And I know if you were here, you would all shout amen at that moment. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 is one of those historical writings which record eyewitnesses' accounts of those who saw and communicated with the risen bodily Jesus. I want to break these down. Number one, you see the women. And so follow along through this chapter with me. In verse 1, the word they is used describing who was at Jesus' tomb on that first day of the week. It was a Sunday. Jesus' crucifixion had occurred on the previous Friday, and we find the they, these women, are going to the tomb. The question that is presented, who are the they? And also in that same verse, we found those words, certain others were with them. Who were these certain others? If you look at verse 10, you'll find who the they are. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. These women are also mentioned in Luke 23:55, if you want to look there. Not by name, but by these words. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher or the tomb and how his body was laid in it. They, these women that were mentioned in verse 10, were following after Joseph of Arimathea and any others with him. Other gospels say that Nicodemus was one of those that was with Joseph of Arimathea. These men had claimed the body of Jesus. You'll remember when they went to Pilate and they asked Pilate, could they have the body of Jesus since he was already dead? And Pilate said, yes, go ahead. And so they took Jesus off of the cross and they gave him a proper burial according to Jewish customs. And they laid him in that tomb. In addition, the word in verse 1, certain others that were mentioned there. If you look at verse 10, the other women that were there with them. Again, this refers to the women that were all there on that first Easter morning. More than likely, this group, this they, these certain others who were at that tomb on that Sunday morning were all women. The women knew where Jesus' tomb was. Remember, in chapter 23, they had followed the men to where the tomb was, so they knew where it was. On that first Easter morning, that Sunday morning, they knew exactly where to go in order to anoint the body with spices and perfumes, a task generally done by the women. But as these women were at the tomb of Jesus early that morning, they found the stone that covered the tomb had been rolled away. As a side note, I have often wondered how these women thought they were going to move a 2,000-pound stone as they were walking to the tomb. I wonder if they even talked about it. I wonder if they had a plan. I wonder if it ever crossed their mind. Hey, okay, we're walking to the tomb. By the way, Mary, by the way, Joanna, how are we going to move this stone? The Bible is unclear what their conversation was that morning. Maybe they just said to themselves, you know what, it's all going to work out. And here we are in the coronavirus, and when are we going to come back to normal? I don't know. It's all going to work out. Amen? The stone, though, had already been rolled away when they got there. The Bible says in verse 3 of chapter 24 of Luke that they entered into the tomb. There's that word they again. And once inside, they found that the body of Jesus was gone. Now, we don't know if all of the women went inside or not. The Bible doesn't say for sure. I tend to believe that all of them actually went inside. For that was the reason they had gone to the tomb early that morning in the first place. They had gone there to anoint the body. And I cannot imagine anyone saying that they would wait outside. That's just my thought. The Bible's silent. Maybe we ought to remain silent. But we know that they went into the tomb and they determined among themselves that Jesus' body was not there. Coming out of that tomb and in their bewilderment, they were met by two men. The King James says these men were angels. And being afraid and perhaps grieving because Jesus' body was gone, perhaps even stolen, they may have thought, who took the body? They may have thought the soldiers did it. They may not have even had a thought. But the angels intervene and they ask them, why are you seeking, get this, the living among the dead? Folks, this is our first historical evidence that Jesus was alive. The angels indicated this with their words, why seek ye the living? They knew the women were seeking Jesus, and the angels also knew that Jesus was alive. And so they pronounced, he is not here, but is risen. The angels even reminded these women of Jesus' own words there in verse 6 and 7. Do you not remember when Jesus said to you, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on that third day rise again? After hearing those words, the Bible says that this group of women remembered Jesus saying that. It was their moment of belief that yes, Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. Look down to verse 9 and 10 and 11. These women immediately left the tomb and they went to tell the 11 disciples and anyone else who was with them. And the Bible says once these men heard the women and what they had experienced that morning, once they heard their historical evidence, their account of that morning, verse 11 says the disciples said that these women's words seemed to be idle tales and they did not believe them at first. I want you to see where these disciples were when they heard these words. They were in no doubt shuttered in place. They were under their own self-order to stay at home. They had isolated themselves from the Roman government, probably because they thought that they too might be crucified next. Or perhaps because they were extremely despondent and depressed. After all, they thought that Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman government. They thought that Jesus was going to rescue and free Israel from the oppression that they were suffering. But now Jesus, their so-called king, was dead. They saw him crucified. They saw him placed in that tomb. And in their minds, all hope had vanished. All hope was gone. And they were left in despair, locked in their rooms. Whatever the case, they were hiding behind locked doors when the women reported that Jesus' body was gone. And they did not believe them. But something must have tugged at Peter's heart. Because there in verse 12, it says that Peter heard the news and he jumped up and ran to the tomb. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, it says that John was also with Peter, so both of these guys run to the tomb. And they looked in, and they saw the linens that had been wrapped around Jesus' body were still laying there. But they also noticed, too, that Jesus was not there. And the Bible says that Peter wondered about all of this that he saw. In that same day, in verse 13, two of Jesus' followers, if you're looking there in verse 13, you'll read that. It says, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs or 7 miles. Two of Jesus' followers, if you look to verse 18, those followers are identified. One of them is identified as Cleopas. The other was probably his wife, Because John 19:25 writes this: "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." But anyway, these two followers, which I believe many of the Bible scholars, when they say it was Cleopas or Cleophas and his wife, they were found walking on the road to the village of Emmaus, which was about 6 or 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, all of the events of the week had taken place. Passover, okay, because it was Holy Week, the crucifixion of Jesus. He's laid in the tomb. They had no idea what had happened at the tomb where the women went, because they were on their way probably back home to Emmaus after the week or after the weekend's events. And as Cleopas and his wife were walking, they were talking about the events of the past week, Holy Week. No doubt they were talking about Palm Sunday, about how Jesus rode into town on a donkey, and everyone saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." No doubt they were talking about Good Friday, how the same Jesus was arrested and crucified. Maybe, perhaps, they had heard about the body of Jesus being gone. I seriously doubt it, but they were talking about these events. And no doubt they were very sad and possibly crying as they were recalling what had taken place there. And perhaps on their way back home, they were despised, rejected, just in mourning. But at that moment, on that road to Emmaus, the Bible tells us Jesus himself joined them. At first, they did not know that it was Jesus. And although Jesus would have known what they were thinking, because he's still God, he asked them, what were they talking about? At first, Cleophas and his wife kind of ridiculed Jesus because they thought he was unaware of the events. How could anyone not know what just happened in Jerusalem? They were probably thinking to themselves. Maybe they even asked Jesus, unbeknownst to them it was Jesus, asked this person, how could you not have known what has taken place this weekend? But they gave Jesus a play-by-play description of what had transpired that week. And when they arrived in Emmaus, they insisted that this man, Jesus, join them for dinner and to stay the night, since it was now dark outside. And so Jesus obligated himself, and he ate with them, and he blessed and broke the bread. And the Bible says there in verse 31 that their eyes were opened. They, meaning Cleophas and his wife, and they knew it was Jesus. Folks, another historical evidence of Jesus being alive. Jesus had revealed himself to them. He had talked with them. He had walked with them. He even ate supper with them. And he did all of these things in bodily form. And there in verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him. They knew it was Jesus. And even though they were probably tired from walking the 7 miles to Emmaus, and even though it was already dark outside, immediately Cleophas and his wife returned to Jerusalem, and they told the 11 disciples and the others who were still with them that they had been with Jesus. They made known to them, "The Lord is risen indeed," there in verse 34. Historical evidence of eyewitness accounts of these women and of Cleophas and his wife. They had seen Jesus, and they weren't making this up, because it was Jesus himself who revealed himself to them so that they would know who it was. It wasn't as if, "Hey, I think we saw Jesus. I'm pretty sure it was Jesus." It wasn't, he has all the mannerisms. I'm sure it was him. No, Jesus himself revealed himself to the ladies and revealed himself to Cleophas and his wife. These are eyewitness accounts of the bodily resurrection of Jesus. In verse 36, while Cleophas and his wife were telling the disciples and the others in that room of what they had witnessed, Jesus himself stood in their midst. And he said, "Peace be unto you." Jesus was standing there in front of them, speaking in bodily form. And yet, because he was in his glorified body, because he was and still is the Son of God, he needed no door to enter through. All of a sudden, Jesus was there. I find verse 37 very interesting. I just love reading this account. Even then, the followers that were in that room were scared to death. Verse 37 says they thought that Jesus was not Jesus. They thought he was a ghost or a spirit. And so Jesus, knowing all things, sensing their fear, sensing their unbelief, extended his hands and his feet for them to see the nail print wounds, to touch his flesh, to see for themselves that it was he in bodily form and not a ghost or a spirit. Now, why did Jesus do that? He appealed to their physical senses. He appealed to their ability to reason and to verify that it was Jesus himself in the flesh, in the bones. And so he extends his feet and his hands. He says, touch my flesh. See that I am flesh and bones. See that I am not a ghost. Now, he was in no way denying the spiritual nature of man or himself. Rather, Jesus was just affirming that his resurrection was the resurrection of his physical body. And verse 41 says, even with all of that, they still did not believe. So Jesus then asked for something to eat. The Bible says they gave him a piece of fish and honeycomb, and Jesus ate that fish and that honeycomb in front of them. And in verse 45, at that moment, the Bible records, then opened he. Jesus opened up those disciples' understanding so that they might understand the Scriptures. Another historical account, historical evidence that Jesus was alive in bodily form. And then read with me in verse 46. By the way, if you're ever reading the Bible and studying the Bible, and you just seem like you can't make sense of it, what is God trying to say? You can always go back to Luke 24, verse 45, and pray that prayer. God, open up my understanding so that I might understand the Scriptures. I've done that a lot throughout my life. Make that a prayer in your life. And I know that the Lord's word will come alive to you. But look in verse 46, and let's read that together. And Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, so that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. He's talking to the disciples in that room. Who else was there? Cleophas and his wife, perhaps the women. Jesus was talking to them. You in front of me, you in this room, you are witnesses, eyewitnesses of these things. Verse 49, and I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endured with power from on high. Basically, what he's talking about there is Acts chapter 2, when the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down on them. But he led them out as far as Bethany, and Jesus lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And when they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God for all that they had seen. There are a lot of things in this world where we do not have a personal firsthand knowledge. But that does not negate that things and events truly happened, because we then rely on historical accounts from those who actually witnessed that happening. And when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, I am convinced that he rose from the grave in his completed bodily form. He was still God because he was always God. He was God and he was human. While he's before his death, after his death, he was still God. but he was in bodily form, and yet at the same time he was divine, because we read that scripture where he just happened to show up in the locked room. Jesus was seen by too many for this to be a fake or a hoax. Let me just read to you what 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 15, just a few verses. He says, "Moreover, brothers, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen, or that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above more than 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep, or some have since died. After that, he was seen by James, Jesus' brother, and then all of the apostles, and last of all, he was seen by me." Jesus was seen by way too many people, over 500, for this to have been a hoax. And if you're like me, I believe in the Bible in its entirety. All of it is true. Nothing is false. It's infallible. It's God's word. I believe all of it. And so therefore, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead and that he was seen by all of these witnesses who gave historical account of seeing Jesus and being with him. They talked to him. They physically heard him speak. He listened to their talking. He walked with them. He ate with them. He reasoned with them. Jesus did all of that with these women, Cephas and his wife and the disciples and 500 others and even his own brother. They are all historical evidence, historical witnesses that Jesus rose from the dead. That is because Jesus did, in fact, rise from the dead in bodily form. Oh, I was not there, but I rely on historical evidence from God's word to know for sure that it happened. Can we just do that today? Just rely on God's word that Jesus' bodily resurrection was true. At the same time, we're going to rely on God's word to get us through the COVID-19 crisis. Rely on God's word, those who may have lost jobs and struggling financially, those who have been sick. Look, I want to meet with you so bad. Friday we did some drive-bys and tried to pull into some driveways and just honk the horn and just wave from the car. We didn't get to everybody. We're trying. But what you guys have done for us today, these pictures on these pews, and we get to see your faces and those warm, encouraging words. Be encouraged. We're going to get through this. Let's just rely on God's word and do that for us. Let me pray for you. Father God, we just thank you again for the opportunity to preach your word. Father, the house is full today with the spirit of the people of Grace Baptist Church. Father, I see their smiling faces on their pews with these pictures. I have read and I feel their warm embrace and encouraging words. Father, your word says where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And I'm so thankful that David and Austin are here physically so that we can make this possible. But Father, also because I want your spirit to be here. And it is. Father, I thank you for walking us through Luke chapter 24 and just looking at the historical evidence, the historical writings of eyewitnesses who were there 2,020 years ago who saw Jesus alive in his bodily form, who saw the tomb empty. Father, may we all just shout with joy those words that David sang to us earlier. Gone, the tomb is empty. And Jesus is at his Father's side. Father, I can't wait to that day when the rapture happens and Jesus comes back and we reign with him forever. All of this mess that we're in down earth today will all be gone. We won't even be thinking about it because the Bible says that in heaven there's no tears, no sorrow. It's all joy. Father, help us to get through it. Be with our people. Father, some are hurting. Some have lost their jobs. Some have had their hours cut. Dealing with finances, dealing with just the thought of being in house. Father, our mental capacities are stretched, physical capacities, we just can't get out. No one knows when this is going to end. There's discord among our politics in our country. Father, I don't want to see that. This discord, there's people protesting and people demanding more medical devices. At the same time, people demanding that beaches be open so we can have fun again. Father, all of that may be taking its toll. And I pray, Lord, that your grace would be sufficient in times such as this. Even when Paul had his thorn in the flesh, your answer was, my grace is sufficient. So, Father, rain down your grace upon us. Help us to get through this. But Father, in the midst of all this crisis, may we also know that yes, indeed, it's a fact. Jesus rose again out of that tomb in a bodily form. And he's seated at the right hand of God, waiting to come back for his church, the believers in him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this hour of worship. Thank you, Father, for those who have listened in. I pray, Lord, that all of us would join our hearts together and just continue to seek you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.